All right, I'm joined in the studio by Millie Milgate from Sounds Australia. Good morning, Millie. How are you doing?
Good morning, Mitch. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, you're one of our quiet achievers here on 2SER Breakfast.
Oh, wow.
Where and when did you first fall in love with music and wanted to pursue it as a career?
I think I've always loved music. I think, you know, you grow up surrounded by it and, you know, just in terms of enjoyment and as a sheer fan, I don't think I ever thought it could be a real job, so to speak, or a livelihood. I think I, in a way, fell into it. I'd done a tourism degree and was working at the Manly Visitor Bureau thinking, hey, isn't this tourism thing nice? Mm-hmm. In essence, I was working on the Midwinter Arts Festival and the Jazz Festival. So I was dealing firsthand with artists, and I think that was probably the first sign of, oh, there's a whole world behind the scenes. You know, I was never going to be a performing artist. I had a real appreciation for music, but it was more being able to help them deliver their dream and deliver their passion. So I think that was probably the first kind of sense that this could be something more than just, hey, isn't this a great thing to do in your spare time?
You became the unsung heroes of the music business, so to speak.
Well, yeah, I had a lot of opportunities. I started working at Macquarie University in their entertainment department as an activities and marketing assistant. And again, you know, really got to see such a diverse and incredibly eclectic array of, you know, talent, and the types of entertainment that you could present at a university is so broad that I really got quite a good eye-opening and understanding of what was out there. And I think that led me, you know, really down the path of wanting to work closer with acts. And I went into artist management and then simultaneously then sort of moved on from Macquarie after doing their entertainment for a number of years to book venues. So yeah, it just kind of really kind of just kept snowballing, I guess, in terms of my involvement. But yeah, always could just see so much talent, particularly talent in Sydney. And, you know, if there was any way I could help be part of those successes, I really wanted to.
So you work at Sounds Australia at the moment, which is an organisation which looks to help Australian bands get a foothold and kind of get, I guess, increase their awareness and their fans really in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Just how much work goes on behind the scenes in doing that job?
There is a lot. I mean, I guess we're such a small country comparatively, and the market therefore for Australian artists in terms of building a really sustainable career is limited in the first instance, given the changing scope of the music industry and fall in record sales and all the different things that we're hearing about, the opportunities to make a living from it have become harder. So that's been teamed with a real opening of what's been possible internationally. And again, the same internet that's changed the landscape has opened up such a wide, I guess, hope for so many artists where they could find audiences in new markets. And I think as that was happening, there was a recognition that there were a number of showcase conference events that allowed artists to really have that first platform going into a new territory, and where we could help them on the ground as and when it was happening, really kind of connect them with key tastemakers, decision makers, and ultimately fast track what they were trying to do, was what both the federal and state governments, along with APRA, AMCOS, felt was an initiative that they would get behind. So that's really where it sort of come from.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the last, we were started in January 2009.
Mm-hmm.
There's just been so many artists. I think at the last count, we've had 620 artists showcased through Sounds Australia, through that platform. And just the sheer increase in numbers and successes, it's just unbelievable.
Obviously, the States are a big target, and I guess the UK as well. But there mm-hmm. are there other sort of interesting countries you wouldn't think of?
Yeah, look, yeah, certainly those more sophisticated Western music markets, as you mentioned, UK, North America, and Europe, are essential. But what we're starting to see are opportunities opening up in Asia, in South America, that I think are just going to be critical, certainly in the next few years. I think you can start to see it in terms of those countries becoming trading partners with Australia, but there's a real appetite for Australian music. And I think as those emerging markets grow and as they become more sophisticated, the opportunities for us are immense. We've just got to really, you know, get in there early, I think.
Yeah. So what's the most rewarding part of your job, and what's the most challenging?
I think having a conversation with an artist and their team, so if it's a manager or an agent, really early on, not so early on that they haven't already done quite a bit in Australia, but just starting to carve out a possible plan that might work for them, taking the information that we've, you know, been able to generate or garnish and really kind of hone individual opportunities, I think, and just having that initial conversation where you're just sitting down, you know, in a cafe or an office or somewhere talking about the potential and then actually seeing that unfold, like seeing them get to the point where they are invited, see them, you know, get along to the show, see them live. You know, one of the things that we love every time is that Australian artists just know how to play live, you know, and it makes our job really easy that no matter what opportunities we put in front of them, we know, you know, for the most part, they're going to hit it out of the park. So as long as we've got everything in place, it's up to them to deliver, and you know, 9 times out of 10 they kill it. So being just part of that journey with those artists, when I first started, as I mentioned, I'd been doing some local bookings, so to see those acts that I gave their first Hopetown show to, for instance, you know, to be with them overseas in Brighton and see a whole lot of, you know, really reputable and credible industry, you know, amazed at what they're doing. That's pretty special.
And this kind of might fit into my next question. It just seems like a lot of Australian bands are doing well, first of all, in Australia, which is always good to see, but also overseas as well. I think of bands like Tame Impala especially. Mm-hmm. Are Australians flavour of the month, a flavour of the last few years? Or
yeah, if flavour of the month goes for, you know, 2.5 years, then yes. Look, I just think the gateways have been open now and you're going to have a hard time stopping them. I think, you know, certainly, you know, artists like Tame Impala, you know, early date, Temper Trap, Jezebels, the Middle East, like there were artists just coming through constantly of a real quality. And as I mentioned, I really think our live and our local industry, I mean, we talk about venues closing and we talk about restrictions and lockouts, and sure, there's a whole lot of things that really need addressing. But as a whole, it's really sunny here. Like, it really is positive. And I think that we've got such a robust infrastructure that the talent that's being nurtured through and sort of going up the pyramid, if you like, means that those that are getting out and those that are looking to export are doing it a whole lot earlier and are just really hitting the mark.
All right, Millie. Well, thanks so much for joining us on 2SER. Great to speak with you.
Thanks for having me, Mitch.